Our theme for this time of worship is hearing God speaks. If our theme was simply God speaks, our focus would be on Him. But because our theme is hearing God speaks, the focus is on us. How do you hear the voice of God? Or are you hearing His voice? Or are we just practicing religious activity and hoping that He understands and hears? When God speaks, the whole universe stands still. If you read in Genesis 1, God spoke and the whole created universe came into being. God spoke and all the living creatures came into being. And toward the end of that chapter, it says He spoke and created man in His own image and after His own likeness, and then He created a helpmate. So when we talk about God speaking, He has spoken all the way through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And He has spoken all through history. He spoke to the great reformers like Luther and Calvin. He spoke to the great missionaries through the ages. But now, today, He speaks to us. My prayer is that you will not merely attend a worship service, but that you will hear the voice of God as He has something in mind for your life. When He speaks, there's no limit to what He can do. So don't put any limits on God's activity in your life. What could He do if He spoke to you? Anything He wants to. I remember as I was pastoring in a Canadian province that I sensed that God spoke quietly to my own heart to say that He is deeply concerned about the Native Indian people and that He wanted my life to become involved with them. I grew up in my younger years with about a third of the school being Native Indian. So I came to know them and love them and appreciate their gentle heart, their generous spirit. The Native Indian people were significant people. But there was a point in my ministry where God commissioned my life. He spoke and said, I want you to go. Well, in an unusual way, God seemed to say, there is a Native Indian village way up north, beyond all the highways and roads, across a great lake and across a river. But there's a village that I want you to go and preach the gospel and seek to establish a church there. So I went. But I had one of those interesting moments when I was walking down Main Street of this little town. The local medicine man of the Indian tribe came out on Main Street. He called the attention of all the people, and then he said, pointing to me, this man has come to preach and to start a church, and I hereby declare that I'm putting a curse on him. Well, they tried to do that to Jesus, didn't they? They didn't succeed, and I thought, you can put all the curses you want. but I'm a servant of the Lord God Almighty. And you cannot prevent what he is about to do. And we did stay and we did preach, and a church was established. And later that little church started Bible study in scores of other towns and villages all across the north. What is God able to do? Well, it's important that you learn to hear his voice. And there's a wonderful verse in John where, let me go back and read the whole passage, John 10:2. But he who enters in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens to him, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And they will not follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Is that characteristic of your life? We often call ourselves one of his sheep, but according to Jesus, if you're one of his sheep, you'll recognize his voice when he's speaking, and you'll watch him where he goes before you, and you will follow him, for you know his voice and you know what he's saying. Does our nation at this point need a mighty touch of God? We do. But all the way through the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, when God is about to do something, he speaks to one of his own. And he talks to them about what he wants to do in them and then through them. So this morning we're talking about hearing God's voice. Do you hear his voice? And do your children sense that you do? And by the way, you know what this means when a pastor puts his watch down? Nothing. According to the scripture, God speaks to his own by his Holy Spirit. And according to the scripture, the sword which the Spirit wields is the Word of God. So every time you open the scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God, who knows the mind and heart and will of God, is going to guide you to understand from the scriptures what you may have read before but not understood. And suddenly a truth jumps out at you. Or, putting it scripturally, when you open the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind and heart and will of God, will take the Word of God, which is his sword, and bring you carefully into the will of God. And of course, what you do next, or your response to the Holy Spirit's guiding you into the will of God, will indicate what you believe about God. Many a believer says they believe a lot about God, but they just have not got around to doing anything he says. And the world and the nation goes to hell because God's people do not recognize the voice of God. You remember the script, there's some very simple little verses that are enormous in their implication. In 1 Peter it says, God is not willing that any should perish. How many is included in the any? Every solitary individual. God is at work in the heart and life of every solitary individual. Is that true of your children and your grandchildren? Do you carefully listen to what God is saying to your children? Marilyn and I are grateful to have our second oldest son, Tom, with us. And you will hear him tonight. But he has a great heart for God. Has three children. And in all of our grandchildren, we have 14 grandchildren. We have five children and 14 grandchildren. And we are greatly blessed of God. And my prayer has always been, Lord, help me to hear your voice and walk carefully with you in such a way that all of my children would choose to want to walk with you the way they see their dad walk. You understand, your children and your grandchildren are watching the way you walk with God. For instance, do you realize that your children and grandchildren listen to you when you pray? Whether it's around the table for a meal or being asked to pray in a worship service, your children and your grandchildren watch to see from your life something of your intimate relationship with God. Do they know if you're just saying prayers or if you're praying? They really do. And that will affect their walk with God. So the Spirit of God speaks through the Word of God. But according to the Scripture, we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Scripture says, the Holy Spirit assists us when we pray. And I'm convinced that is true, but you need to be intimately aware of the Holy Spirit's activity when you pray. There'll be things that will come to your attention and your mind and your heart, even in the process of praying, that you hadn't intended to say when you prayed. But others are listening, and how you pray and what you pray will indicate to others your relationship with God. And then the Holy Spirit speaks through the church. That is, a local church, according to Scripture, is a living body of Christ. And Christ is the head. And the head has a way of speaking to every part of the body. Do you listen carefully when your fellow believers try to bear witness to you about their walk with God? The eye can see, the ear can hear, the hand can function, the feet can walk. Every part of the body is crucially important. And you need to listen carefully to what your fellow believers are saying. They may come out of the workplace with a huge sense that they had encountered God during the week in their workplace. You need to understand that that member in this church family has had a very special and intentional encounter with God, designed by God to affect the other members of the body. So listen carefully. And when you're in a Sunday school class or Bible study class like Marilyn and I are, I listen carefully to what the teacher is saying, because he is indicating how the Lord spoke to him. And now he comes anxious to let the class know what God said to him. I take that very seriously. I don't just think this is one man just speaking. I take it as God choosing to speak to me at that time through the Bible teacher. And quite often, when the class is over, or sometimes during the class, I will indicate to the teacher the significance of what he has just said in my own life. So God speaks through the church. You have some wonderful deacons in this church. Can God speak through them? God put them in a unique leadership role in your congregation. Listen carefully and choose to listen to your deacons. And I appreciate your pastor and some of the staff. You are very blessed as a church. And so if God puts you in this church, listen carefully to how the Spirit is speaking through your church family. And then, of course, the Spirit of God often speaks in the middle of circumstances. So what's happening in the circumstances of your life are used by the Holy Spirit to bring into your mind and heart the will of God. And you may be going through some circumstances now in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace, in your church, and you may not yet have understood all that God is trying to say to you. But please know the Holy Spirit has an unusual way of speaking through circumstances. And they may be very heavy circumstances or just some light circumstances. But he has a way of speaking to you through those moments. So, Jeremiah 33:3, God says to his people, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." You need to take that verse, Jeremiah 33:3, and go through every aspect of it, and stop and meditate at every phrase. Call to me, and you need to answer the question, are you one who calls unto God? Would that be characteristic of your walk with God? And I will answer you. Have you come to hear the voice of God when God answers your prayer? And by the way, there's several things that I have tried to learn about prayer. I never ask God to join me, because he will say, "I've been with you all along. You need to join me, not me join you." But we say, "Lord, would you come among us?" And he says, "I've been among you all along." So watch how you pray, because how you pray indicates your relationship to God and what you believe about God's deep desire for every one of his own to be involved in their life. In 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel says, "Does Jehovah delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of Jehovah. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To listen is better than the fat of rams. So what you do next says an awful lot about what you believe about God. And how are you responding when God speaks? But I asked the previous question. Do you recognize when God is speaking to you? Some of you may be experiencing a restlessness in your life that somehow God wants to thrust your life somewhere else in the world. And that there is a village or a people group somewhere in the world that is waiting anxiously for the one that God is going to send to them. And you are that one that God wants to send to them. And the longer you delay, the longer they have to wait for a word from God. But if you anxiously recognize the voice of God thrusting you somewhere else in your community, in our nation, or in our world. God does not do that incidentally. He does it on purpose. And so when the God of the universe moves in the life of one of his own, there's an awful lot at stake. And the lives of many hang in the balance of how you respond. So, our brief theme this morning is God speaks. If our theme was simply on God, we would spend time describing him. But our theme is hearing God speak. And so our theme is related to us. So you start to go back through the scripture and realize from Genesis to Revelation, God is always speaking to one of his own. When God has something on his heart that he wants to accomplish, he seeks out one of his own. So he came to Abraham. And Abraham heard the voice of God and followed him. And God said, I'm going to give you and my people a special land. And God did. But he chose to do it through Abraham. And there was a moment when God wanted a great moment of deliverance, and he spoke to a man called Moses. And I'm one that likes what the scripture says about God's activity in Joshua. And in the first chapter of Joshua, God said to Moses, or to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, you, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Then he went on to say, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses. And of course, Joshua then obeyed. It's a very simple process. When the God of the universe is about to do something significant somewhere, he looks for someone who has a walk with him that God can trust to hear his voice and to obey. I often think of Joshua and how God had in mind some marvelous things to do. So he came to Joshua, spoke to him, gave him directives. And the scripture simply says, in this passage on Joshua, he says, "Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe," that is, practice, "to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe or practice to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And so God spoke to Joshua, and he heard and he obeyed. And God always does everything he says he's going to do. So what do you sense God saying to your life? If God saved you, he has something unique he wants to do in you. And then because you respond to what he's doing in you, he then has the opportunity to do something through you. He cannot do through someone who is not willing to let God shape and mold their life to match the assignment. But there's no individual who is a child of God that God does not have something unique that he wants to do in your life and then through your life. And every once in a while, I hear some women say, "But I'm just a woman," and I'd say, "What in the world does that mean? Why don't you say, 'I'm just a child of God'?" Amen. And if you're a child of God, there's no limit. And there's some books written about and by some of the great women that God used. Amy Carmichael is one, but he has used women all the way through history to do uniquely what he cannot do through anyone else. Amen. So may you have a determination. You will hear God's voice. You will know what he's saying, and you will immediately obey. I have found that biblically, when individuals heard from God, they immediately answered and they fully responded. I think of the disciples, and you remember in John 10, the scripture says, Jesus came to some fishermen and a tax collector and simply said, "Follow me." And then it says, "And I will." In other words, what God does next is crucial. I want to leave with a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 12. When God spoke to Abram, and I would put your name there, God says, "I will make you a great nation." How is God developing your family? As we mentioned, God gave us four boys and then balanced the family with one girl. And that one girl is serving as a career missionary with her husband in Germany. Amen. And they're doing church planting. That's great. And Marilyn and I will be going over there again to visit with them. But when I look at when God gave us a girl, we had four boys first. And then we moved from California to Saskatchewan in Canada. And I think God chose to bless Marilyn's faithfulness with the four boys by giving us one girl. And that balanced everything, and still does to this day, by the way. I will make your name great. And then God says, I will bless you. What capacity does God have to bless a person? There's no limit to what God can do when He chooses to put a blessing on one of His own. There's no limit. There's no limit within your immediate family or through your life in the community, even the nation and the world. When God chooses to bless, so He says, let me tell you, Abram, what I will do. Now, preceding that, it says, the Lord spoke to Abram, get out of your country. And some of you will be sensing that's what God's saying to you. He said that to me, and I left where I grew up in Western Canada to go to California. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And I'll make your name great. That is, God promises to develop your character to match your assignment. And it may be that you have a clearer picture of your assignment by what God's doing in your character. He develops your character to match your assignment. So He says, I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And then your life has an incredible impact on the life of others. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Then this enormous promise of God, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you believe what God says about those He chooses? And do you believe that you're one of His? So you can take a promise like this and rest on it. You can say, and Lord, is this what you're doing in my life? And then that phrase that you see often, meditate day and night. And it may be that God will wake you up in the middle of the night with a truth about His activity in your life that you have yet to respond to, because you have sort of diminished what you think your life can do in the hand of God. There is no limit to what the God of the universe can do through one life that is wholly yielded to Him. And you may be that one life. So we think about hearing when God speaks. And I'll give you a moment of quiet before I pray. And you can let the Holy Spirit bring to your remembrance his activity. And it may go back to a particular moment in a missions conference where you were suddenly touched by the Spirit of God and God was calling you to be his servant wherever he placed you, and you're still wrestling with that. Could you settle that this morning? Lord, you are Lord of everything. And when you speak, the only answer that's worthy of you is yes, Lord. So I'll give you a moment to think about what God has been saying to you and doing in your life, and then in a moment I will pray. Heavenly Father, you have revealed yourself and your ways and your purposes in the Scripture. And you come to ordinary people, and their life becomes extraordinary because you have chosen them to be the ones through whom you work. And the world will come to know him or come to know God through your life. So, Father, thank you for the incredible privilege when you, the God of the universe, comes to one of your own to shape and mold their life to match what you're about to do in them and then through them in a very needy world. So, Father, we tremble in your presence, knowing that in this very moment you are doing exactly that. And for those in this time of worship to whom you are speaking personally, may they hear from them, may you hear from them, yes, Lord, here I am. Speak and use my life as you choose. And we ask it in your name. Amen. I'll turn the service over to your pastor, who will give you an opportunity to respond. And it may be that the Lord spoke to you, and you may not be in the habit of responding when God speaks, but just enjoying. But there's an altar, and there's something happens when one of his own hears God speak and then bows the knee before God to say, yes, Lord. And so in a moment, this altar will be open. And if God has been speaking to you and it's now your moment to say, yes, Lord, then this is a worship encounter with God, designed for God to speak and for us to respond. So the next few moments are open for your response, which God will see. In a time of worship, you heard him speak, and you did not want to leave that moment without bowing your knee before God and saying, speak, Lord, for this your servant is listening. And I've heard you, and the answer is yes, Lord.